Hello, howdy, and what's up? This is episode 16, and today we're just going to kind of do an overview of a lot of the things I talk about and why I talk about them. But the main point is, and we're going to skip the shout out, mainly talking about how maybe we can get control of our country one county at a time and one town at a time, and then down to one person at a time, because we are the ones that vote. And if we want our vote to matter, it's not going to happen in a big major election. It happens in the counties in which we live. And when we take control of those, then we'll be in better shape. So we're not talking about the big picture today. We're talking about the local level picture, even though I kind of go all over the map as usual.
Hump day, yeah!
Hi, my name is Mark. I'm the Prepper Guy, and this is a Prepper Guy podcast. In a world that's always changing and full of fear and confusion, and especially when it comes to prepping, I am a minimalist, and I like to be ready for anything that life may throw at us, whether it's bad, the end of the world, or just a flat tire on a deserted road.
A lot of my podcasts have been about politics and world events and not so much about prepping, and thought I'd just kind of explain that thinking, because everything we deal with in life every day, to me, has to do with prepping. And that might sound kind of like a cop-out, and I don't mean it as a cop-out, but everything we do every day revolves around our life and what's important to us, and that is why we prep, for the things and the people that are important to us. So when we talk about politics, it's how they would affect us in our lives, and therefore kind of lends to the reason why we need to be prepared. When we see things on Facebook, or we notice the bipolar nature of people we associate in life with, or the sociopathic politicians that we call our leaders, that kind of is something we need to look at as far as an excuse or a reason why we should prepare. So I don't mean it to sound as if I'm copying out. I just think everything in life is associated with our planning, and whether it's the new CEO of the company or your new boss or a new product, we have to plan for how that's going to affect us at our job, any of that stuff. You know, that's why HR departments are so big, because everything requires some kind of planning nowadays, how it'll be implemented and all that. So to have an HR department at your company is really just them prepping for potential risks, I guess, that could arise, and making procedures to where they can mitigate those potential problems, whether it's, you know, harassment or any number of things. I don't even know them all. So that's why I talk a lot about the things in life. And I'm not, you know, the teacher that's going to teach you how to rub two sticks together to make a fire. I just want to be the coach that says, there'll come a time when you need to make a fire. Go learn how to rub two sticks together. There's plenty of videos out there, and I like pointing people in the right direction to learn how to do these things that they need to do. And that's why I talk about diet, because diet, even though it affects your health, it will affect your prepping, and it can affect the cost of your preps and maybe the expediency of how fast you can get out of Dodge if you have to, if you've bought the wrong gear, the wrong preps. So that's kind of why I do that, and I just kind of wanted to explain that a little bit, because sometimes people do question me on, well, if you're a prepper, why are you talking so much about this election? And who's our president will affect our decisions and may even affect the economy or something like that in such an effect that we have to leave. We have to bug out for a while. We have to fall back. We have to get out of our house, whatever the reason is. A lot of people don't think that anything bad enough could happen to where we'd have to leave our homes for an extended period of time. But trust me, our next president might just walk us right into another Cold War with Russia. Now, I don't look at Russia as a big threat. I don't look at China as a big threat. I look at the CIA as our biggest threat. They're the ones that are always playing these games with, you know, our Middle Eastern and our foreign policies that are actually pissing off quite a few people. So they're kind of a threat, because they go in there and they lie to one person and you know, sleep with them and fund them and all this. And then they turn around and go to their enemy and fund them and sleep with them. And then they, you know, it's like a big girl fight. And it causes issues that can backfire on us, we the people, you know, which is pretty evident when you look at the Middle East and they all hate Americans. And yet you and I have never done anything to hurt those people. They just look at it as, well, your representatives, those people you send here, your CIA, are stirring up the hornet's nest, and then you want to act innocent when you get stung by a hornet. It's like, excuse me, but you started this mess. And it's like, well, no, we really didn't. We just have no control over our leaders and the people they hire to screw shit up. They don't understand that because they operate under a different system. So that's the problem. And that's, you know, so they could walk us into some kind of war. You know, the 9/11 attacks could have been, you know, prevented. Maybe if we hadn't pissed off the wrong people, you know, just shit happens and usually happens for a reason because there is cause and effect in everything. We get all but hurt about it, wondering why they're mad at us. But we're not watching close enough what's going on over there. So I guess what I'm saying is if you're a thinker, you can look at these things and go, oh, yeah, it does affect me. Doesn't mean that you have to run out and become a doomsday prepper and hide under a rock. It just means that you need to be ready to go hide under a rock if you have to. So it just makes it easier if you can see the writing on the wall to know what to prepare for and what scenario may or may not happen. You know, nobody prepared for the Titanic to sink because it was made out of magic steel and it was supposed to be unsinkable. So who would actually ever really give two shits about knowing where the life rafts are or where the safety vests are or any of that, what the procedures are, because yeah, it's not going to sink. Don't be stupid. Don't be a scaremonger. So it did hit an iceberg. The magic steel didn't work. And that's, you know, it's kind of like America. People think this will never happen in America. Oh, okay, because what, we're made out of magic steel or whatever? No, stuff happens to, you know, bad things happen to good people and bad things happen to good countries. I'm not saying we're a good country. I'm just saying shit happens. So, you know, when the Titanic's going down, are you going to be the one that's running around listening to all the other people that were saying, I can't believe this is happening. I'm sure it'll be fine. You know, that it has all these, you know, chambers built into the ship to where, you know, it can't flood those. So I'm sure we'll be okay. Let's go rearrange the deck chairs. You're going to be the one sitting there, you know, as part of the band playing the music while it's going down? No. So, you know, but if you don't even think that possibly the ship could sink, well, that doesn't mean you're a fool. It would be a fool to prepare for the ship being sunk by a torpedo when it actually hit an iceberg, or it might just get capsized by a rogue wave. Then you're trying to, you know, you're looking for one situation that might happen that could have sank that ship too. No, you just want to sit there and go, no matter what happens to this ship, whether it's a rogue wave or an alien death ray or an iceberg or a drunk captain just drives around in circles until we run out of steam and then sink, whatever it is, I want to know where the life rafts are. I want to know the escape plan, and I want to get off of it as fast as I can if it's going down so I don't get sucked under with it. So that's why we talk about all these things. And I think they're important. And they're fun to talk about. I kind of enjoy it, but I'll watch the news and I'll get all worked up. Now, today, talking about being a prepper, I've heard for, you know, months that you should always record your backup on, you know, a different way. And then I had a really great episode I was working on, and I went to save it and it crashed and then it wasn't there. And so I lost, you know, a couple hours of work. So I learned, because I never thought that would happen, but it did. That one thing happened. Didn't happen like they said it would. It was some other dumbass thing I did. So I you know, I need to work on my preps too. You know, actually listening to the words of warning from people that know a little bit more about using Audacity and these types of programs, but I didn't. And there's a good reason why I didn't. I can't afford to buy a digital recorder right now. I could buy a cheap one, but that's not going to do what I want it to do. I need to spend a couple $100, which I'm kind of tapped out. And, you know, I've been trying to just get the audio quality working and get my, the right microphone and less noise in the background, so I'm not spending 4 hours on post-production to get rid of clicks and pops and all that. So I just didn't have the money to do that one prep. Well, that I think is what's going to happen with 90% of us, you know, preppers, that it doesn't matter how much you know and how much you're ready for it and all that. There's going to be that one thing that was probably the most critical thing that you just couldn't afford just yet. And that's the one thing you'll need. So that's why I always say, you know, if you're in a situation to where you have all your gear with you, then that situation is probably camping. Because you have a lighter, you have all your gear, you have your tent set up, you have food, you have everything you need because you're on a camp trip. When it bites you in the butt is the one time when you take off and go somewhere and you break down but it was snowing. And so you slid off the road, and even though it's a good road and there's a lot of people on it, you're down in a ditch and your headlights are broken out and no one knows you're there for 2 or 3 days, which has happened. There was a story of that happening, and you're pinned in and you can't maybe get out. You're not bleeding out or nothing, but you're stuck there. And that's when you're going to need all your gear that's not with you. So now that would be kind of shitty because you're actually stuck. But, you know, you could fall out of an airplane. The airplane could fall out of the sky. And then you survive. And you're on the plane, so you didn't have all your gear with you because they won't let you carry knives and all that fire starter shit on a plane. That's the one time you're going to go, oh, now I need my gear and I don't have it. So it's Murphy, you know, at his finest, screwing with us all. And you're going to not have the things you need. So I've watched some pretty cool videos. A young kid, he can build anything, you know, with his hands, and he's pretty damn creative. And so you're going to need a cutting device. So learning how to maybe chip or break, you know, certain kinds of rocks to where it's a sharp cutting edge and tying it to a stick to make a very primitive chopping device would really come in handy. Not that you'd want to have that in your bug out bag because it's kind of heavy. But if you have your bug out bag with you, well, then now it's part of your plan. So that's the kind of the difference between falling back and or bugging out as opposed to a true survival situation. A survival situation is one of those things that just when it happens, you're like, holy shit. You know, the one time I didn't bring my flashlight is the one time I need it. The one time I needed my pocket knife, I couldn't have it because the TSA took it. The one time I needed my fire starter, I don't have because, you know, I left it at home because I thought, I'm just going over here. That's a survival situation. And that's where you want your skills really quite honed. So that way you can, you know, make that chopping thing out of a rock and a stick. And then at least if the TSA let you keep your shoes on after you got on the plane, if your shoestrings are made out of paracord, you got something to tie things with. You can make a shelter out of anything, dirt, sticks, rocks, mud, sand, snow, ice, you know, if you know what you're doing. So that's when you try to learn a lot of skills for that time. Because if you're bugging out, even if the world's falling to shit and it's legitimately you got to bug out because the neighborhood's on fire and there's looters all around your house and you're lucky enough to grab your shit and go, the key thing is you have your shit with you. So you don't need to make a stone axe. You have your stuff, and that's why it's kind of kept, you know, together. So if you have to emergency bug out. So that's kind of, to me, the two differences. If you're in a survival situation and you got all your stuff with you, then you're really bugging out or you're camping. Survival is staying alive. So it's barely what you have with you that you were lucky enough to have with you when a rock pins you in the canyon and 4 or 5 days, you're stuck there with a 200-ton boulder setting on you and literally waiting for your hand to rot off enough to where you can cut it free without an excruciating amount of pain because now it's all dead and rotted to get away. Then you're thankful you have your knife with you to where you can saw through your last remaining nerves to get away. That's survival. You know, falling out of a plane and landing on Antarctic, that's survival. So that's where your skills come in. And when you're bugging out, that's more for training. I plan kind of a modified, you know, if I don't have a lot of gear with me, If I want to bug out, I want to bug out quick and fast, as light as possible. So my diet is streamlined and minimalized. My gear, my everyday carry is normally my clothes and my first shelter. It's good socks, good shoes, good clothing. If it's getting colder out, I have, you know, wool on. And then that way, even if I can't grab my bug out bag, I have wool and I have some stuff with me. And then I learn how to sharpen and melt a credit card into something that's sharp so I can skin. I can take my shoestrings out and make a trap. So that's the kind of the two ways I'm looking at it as me, you know, Mark the Prepper Guy. I'm not Navy SEAL trained in all of escape and evasion. So hold on a little bit. We're going to take a little break and just reconnoiter my thoughts and give you a break to kind of put it in a separate little pile in your mind, because that's how memory works. And we'll be right back.
Preppers should always be prepared, and the Prepper Guy can help you find the supplies you need without having to get lost in a big box store or on a website designed to sell you everything else. Our online store offers a focused shopping experience, making it easy to zoom in to find what you need. Because we affiliate with Amazon to deliver our goods around the world, you'll always find the best values, too. Find what you need at DoomsdayDepot.com. Remember, that's Doomsday with a Z, where you can zoom in to find what you need. And learn more at PrepperGuy.com, too.
Alrighty, we are back now, and I want to thank you for sticking with me. I want to thank all my loyal listeners since I came out with this, just for being here. And a lot of people go on Doomsday Depot, and I really like that, and getting some listeners. So it makes me feel good that people are hearing me and actually going, I think I'll listen to the next one, see if you've gone off the deep end yet. So it's good to know. And I thought I'd stick that in there because I always forget to thank my listeners. I always forget to tell people, go to prepperguy.com, and there you can subscribe to the podcast on anything that you use to listen to it. I have a little bit of a hard time with my RSS. I don't totally understand that bit of voodoo magic, but you can subscribe on iTunes, Android, by email, and I'll probably get that worked out on the RSS thing too. So it's kind of fun. So I always forget to tell people, go to prepperguy.com and subscribe, send me a comment. Like I said, Mark@PrepperGuy always works. So you can send me an email. That's the most reliable, because sometimes I don't check all my social stuff. So we were talking a little bit about the difference between survival and prepping, and both of those, no matter what happens, require skills. But for the bug out, or the I'm going to leave, I'm going to fall back type scenario, more of the world events will affect you more on that. That's why we talk about all the politics, and I've kind of gotten a little disheartened with Ben Carson. I was really starting to get on his page, but then he made some comments about the war on drugs, which is the biggest fiasco and has done no good. It disparages poor middle class. It disparages so many people. So many lives have been lost, even fighting the war, and it's done no good. It's a waste of time. It's a violation of our constitutional freedoms. They have no right to be involved in a war on, you know, anything like poverty and drugs. And then Ben Carson says, yeah, I'm going to support that wholeheartedly and actually step it up. It's like, okay, you just told me you don't know nothing about the Constitution or the folly of this bullshit scam that they've been running for 40 years, or anything about the $1 trillion or more it's cost over the past 40 years, or the loss of freedom and liberty that it's cost. So as all the politicians flow through the gravity filter of my constitutional filter, some of them don't make it through the other side, and Ben Carson now got filtered out, Carly Farina got filtered out, Bernie Sanders, being a socialist, was pretty well filtered out right away. Hillary Clinton and her ability to lie straight-faced about it got filtered out. There's really not any other politicians on that side of the aisle that are really running anymore. But I just think it's funny that, you know, for all the legitimate reasons the Democrats didn't like George Bush, they seem to accept it in Hillary Clinton, the lying, the misinformation, you know, and all that, now that their team has the ball, that's okay. But so I don't really look to one side or the other for any kind of answer at all. So I think all that's really left, Trump, I don't even think he's going to hit the filter. I mean, really, he's got a lot of notoriety going on and all that and his poll numbers, but he's a little sneaky and things he said in the past, and he hasn't really recanted any of them. You know, he's still a anti-private property, would use the eminent domain to build a casino anywhere he could get away with it. And the fact that he has gone bankrupt and used the system, which I think the system is corrupt. So if you use it, then, you know, it was more to use it than to actually save a business. So he's kind of out. I don't know, Rubio, he's a war hawk, and I'm not. He's got a lot of really good things. He talks about why we should be here and why we shouldn't be there. And it's just like no good reasons why we shouldn't be involved in this clusterfuck anyway. So excuse my French, but he's smart. He's intelligent, but he'd take us to war as quick as John McCain would. So he's kind of filtered out. Cruz is very constitutional, and Rand Paul, they still got, I'm still watching them. And I'd be watching some more on the Democrat side, but they haven't given us anything but 70-year-old, rich, privileged white people, which I thought was the problem before they had the ball. And I just think Hillary's health is really bad. You know, I'm not, that's her own doctor said that. So why would you get, sign on a new quarterback for a 4-year stint when you know he has all these medical problems? I mean, look at it kind of like your fantasy team, since politics aren't that important to most people. If it was your fantasy team, would you pick a player that has medical issues and is over the hill and constantly lies and justifies their bad performance on the other guy? No, you wouldn't, because you want to win the game. So I'm not picking on Democrats. They just they've only got a few up there, and the other ones dropped out. And the one that actually made a little sense, he dropped out right after the debate. So I have more to choose from on the Republican side that I have to run through the filter too. So of them is really just Cruz and Paul. And, Paul will probably make it all the way through because he's very constitutional. So is Cruz, but Cruz is, he's kind of dopey on certain areas, so I'm just not sure. Maybe he didn't have a Ron Paul for a father, so he didn't really learn the more important aspects of a lot of the other bits of minutia. But quite frankly, I probably won't even vote because it's just another dog and pony show put up for us in the first place. I mean, it's not going to change anything at all whatsoever. And maybe I'll just kind of wrap up some of my thoughts this way. Not only just to mention the fact that, these are all very good reasons why we should prep and be preppers, not crazy preppers, just preppers, and why we should always be reading the writing on the wall so we're aware. But when you look at politics in this election, kind of look at it this way, because we talked about socialism and how it's part of a plan. If whatever your sport is, if you really like football or baseball or soccer or football or whatever it is, we all have our team we love to hate, and we all have our team that we just love, and we're always there for them, cheering and putting on the makeup and going crazy and fly clear across the country to go to a game, and we're really involved, and we talk to all our friends about how important it is that they drafted this guy, and oh, they got rid of that special teams coach, so now we got that, and it's all very exciting, and we all know that our opinions on the game isn't going to change the game a lot, because no matter how excited you are about the first round draft, if the owners of the team pick another player, well, that's okay. They're not going to call you up and go, "What do you think, Bob?" It's not going to happen, and we can deal with that. That's okay, because it's all part of the sport and we like it. And maybe that's why we picked the team, because the owner is really smart or whatever it may be. We stay engaged. Now, if I told you and I could prove to you, or someone else did, that let's say you found out through some weird way that all of the last two seasons or three seasons, whatever it is, and the next eight or nine playoffs, so you know, part of this 10-year plan, are all fixed. And even the playoff games are fixed. So they're going, okay, we're going to go through this division and that division, and at the end of it, these two people are going to be here, and then we're going to have the other division do this and this, and then, but it's going to be these two. Now, of those two on this division, this one's going to win. And then of the other two, this one's going to win. And then they're going to go into the Super Bowl, and at the end, they're going to win. It's going to be this team. And then we're going to let it kind of play out so people think it's real, and they're going to still get all excited, and no one's going to know there's a, you know, something going off in the background. And we're going to do it in a way to where it's all going to look legit and above board. But this team's going to win. No matter what happens, this team's going to win. Would you be as excited about the game anymore if you knew, if somebody just said, here's the winners of all these games for the next 8 years? And yeah, you could bet on it, make a whole lot of money. But I mean, would you be as excited anymore? Would you just sit there and go, wow, I really like that. They ruined it for me. Because part of it was just this team's going to crawl up from the bottom and win the Super Bowl. Now I find out that they didn't crawl up. It was just part of the scheme, and the whole thing was a charade. Well, that's kind of how politics are becoming. You know, it's hard to be engaged because you just know that no matter who you elect, it's rigged. You know, we know that socialism is the big plan, and this is what they're trying to do. And all the excitement with the debates and all that, it doesn't matter. It's all rigged. You really do get disheartened. And so I don't think that anything could really get you excited about that sport anymore. Especially if you knew that it was good, no matter what you did, no matter who you told, no matter how many times you tried to change it, it's just going to go on. The only thing you could do would be to just start your own team and stay out of the big leagues and just enjoy the sport. Then it would be fun because you're with your friends and you're playing the game, and you'll win or lose based on the performance of your friends and the other players, and there's camaraderie, and it's localized. And no one can cheat, you know, other than the normal stupid cheating, you know. But it's right there. It's local. There's no millions and millions of dollars at stake. It's just a fun game again. Well, that's how politics are supposed to be. See, it was all supposed to be local. We the people have the power, not the federal government. They've made it all about the Super Bowl in Washington. And now it's no fun. It's just boring, and the game's rigged, and we all know it. It's not a big freaking surprise here. So it would be more fun if it was all local. I would care who my mayor was because he's my mayor. He might even be a family member. Let's get behind him and support him. You know, who's the sheriff? These two guys are running for sheriff, and this guy's got a great record, but this guy's an oath keeper, and this guy's really great, but this guy's that. And then you go out and you campaign for him, and you put on the makeup and you do the whole tailgate party and everything, and you're involved. So that's what politics is supposed to be like, just like that. Fun. Who the hell cares what goes on in Washington? Because Washington was created by we the people. So we could pretty much just close it and just go, well, we're closing Washington and we're going to stop funding it. And you guys just, I'll go home. It's all done. Lights out. Turn off the lights. Go home. We could do that because everything runs on a local level. They've somehow taken and moved it to Washington and pulled us out of the game to where what we say and do and think doesn't matter. But the simple fact is we created it, we gave it its authority and its charter, and we are in charge according to the original rules of the game, the Constitution. So wouldn't it be more fun to get more involved locally? If we could get our sheriffs to actually protect our individual rights, that's what they're supposed to do. See, Washington was supposed to protect our rights. We have all the rights. There's no limit on the rights we have. So they were supposed to protect them, not take them away or screw with them or regulate them or do whatever they do now. They were supposed to protect it. So everything they did in Washington was always supposed to run through the filter of, does this protect the individual's rights? So they wanted to change the rules of the game. So it's like, okay, well, then now we're done. New referees, you're out of here. Bye. So we could do that, and it needs to start way back on a local level again, to where we're picking our mayors and we're holding them accountable. And then they're picking the chief of police, and he's being held accountable by the sheriff that we elected. Because, see, the authority comes from you and me. And then we elect a sheriff and say, you are now given authority to act as a law officer, to arrest people, to get to the bottom of it, and to protect my rights, and to protect his rights too, and make sure everybody's protected until we get to the bottom of it. We grant you this authority, and with it comes this badge. Oh, that'd be great. Because then when the federal government decides to step in and go, oh, we're going to ref this game here, the sheriff would go, no, this is a local game and you have no authority here. I have the authority. See, I got this badge. I have a mandate by these people that elected me. Well, but we're the federal government. It's like, yeah, the people created the federal government and they have said, you have no authority here. I do, which is really the law. See, the federal law doesn't apply to state and county law, which is kind of a shocker, isn't it? So if you could get a hold of your mayor and your chief of police and your sheriff, and you could get control of them in the county and all the people that are kind of in charge that we have put there, not the ones that they elected at the bar because of their cousin's friend's monkey's uncle. Nope, the people we elect do what we are asking them to do because we're a representative republic. Then see, our county would be fine and it would be safe again. And then the federal government could just, they could just go pound sand because we don't need them. So they knew that all along when they started all this welfare to the states and counties, because if they can get us relying on, you know, sucking on their welfare tit, that all of a sudden we lose our autonomy and become beholden to them, because they come in with force and guns and all that and take all your property in the form of a tax. They don't dish it out in the county where it could do you some good. No, they take $10 to Washington and then they send back a dollar. If you're good, you'll get your allowance. It's like, excuse me, you're not supposed to give me the allowance. I'm the parent. I give you the allowance. So that's how it was supposed to work. So a county would be a great place then, see? And then if your cop and your cops are screwing up and your chief of police is screwing up because they're not elected, see? They can screw up because they're not elected. They're hired by the mayor who was elected, but he's just an administrator. But the authority behind that thin blue line and that badge comes from the elected law enforcement officer of the county, which is the sheriff. So then you should be able to call up your sheriff and go, hey, sheriff, these local cops in my area, they're doing okay, but they're kind of, laughing when we bring up things about our rights or when we tell them, when we call the police because some city inspectors on my property trying to harass me about my chickens. And when I said, hey, I have the right to have chickens, they just kind of snickered and said, well, I got your constitution right here. Then the sheriff should sit there and go, oh, okay, I will look into that shit. Because see, he's elected law enforcement. So he could go back to the city, to the sheriff, you know, the chief of police, and go, hey, these guys here have been reported to me, and what they're saying is unconstitutional. And since any authority they have in that badge, I have granted to you, if you don't put an end to this and stop doing these things, I'm going to arrest them and you. And we'll sort this out in court. Now, the chief of police might think he's a hot shit, but he's not. See, he's hired. He's not elected. And any authority that he thinks he has, he borrowed it from the sheriff. So it's like, I give you authority to sign a check. It's my check. I'm letting you write a check on that account. And if you start screwing up, I can take that checkbook back and go, I'm not going to let this happen anymore. So that's how it works. See, and then we would have our little utopias protected from all the jackasses. Now, the federal government was just supposed to protect our county and the individual's rights. So let's say you're on a border town, and I'm not going to say Mexico is a Canada border town. I don't give a shit what border you're on. If a bunch of crazies on the other side put together an army because they're another nation, and they try to come into your state or your county and screw with you, then you go to the federal government and go, hey, we have a little militia here and stuff, but not enough for the whole army over there that they're bringing in. And then the federal government goes, oh, okay, well, we have the army, because that's what your tax dollars have been paying for, is this giant army we have, and we'll come and protect your rights in that state. So see, border issues are the federal government's problem. They just don't want to deal with it because there's a lot of money in it. So that's how it could work in a perfect world. Ha 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 ha. But the reality is that is how it was set up. So before you start laughing at the founding fathers and what a bunch of old fuddy-duddies they were, think long and hard about how that was set up. It was actually set up to protect you and your rights, no matter what color you are, no matter what nationality you are, no matter what religion you are. So when the police are shooting black youth or whatever it may be, the sheriff should step in and go, that was not justified. Stop it. So you don't go to the chief police and go, I demand you to change these things. He has no authority. He's a freaking nobody. You go to the sheriff, and the sheriff should step in and go, whoa, I'm going to look into this crap. And then if he doesn't do something about it, all those pissed off people that are rioting in Ferguson, just don't elect him. And all of a sudden, he is out of a job. And then you elect a good person again, and he defends the rights of all the people, not just the black people. He defends the rights of the white people, the Asian people, everyone that's an American, that's one of his constituents. He protects their rights. He also protects my rights. So you just can't sit there and go, well, I don't like you because you have blonde hair and blue eyes. No, because my rights are protected by him too. So therefore, we all get along. See, it becomes a live and let live thing. And then when cops are doing bad things, the sheriff should step in, because that's his damn job, and go, hey, you four are under arrest. You are suspended. And I'm going to talk to the mayor. You need a new chief of police. Well, we need to have election. No, you just hire another one. You've already been elected to get your head out of your ass. Fire this clown and get another one. And we will step in until you get this taken care of. And if you keep screwing up, we might come into your house and arrest you too. So that's the check and the balance that would make things all right. But it will never happen because not enough people know. And those that know don't care. So our enemies are on both sides of the fence now. Our enemies have the ball on both sides. There's no rules and everything's just a freaking free-for-all, and all the referees are corrupt, and they're just calling them as quick as they can for their side. And we, the American people, are screwed. So the best place to fall back to and bug out to is your county and your city, and go to them and say, here's what's happening, straighten it out, or me and my 200 friends are going to get together, and we're going to start a movement, and we're going to get your dumb ass unelected. And then you call the Oath Keepers, who is a great organization, and you ask them to help you sort out your problems with your sheriff. Or you just kick his ass to the curb and get another one. So that's how it would work. It's my prayer that it kind of does work someday that way. I mean, we all try to support our sheriffs and our police and all that. But when there's corruption, nobody seems to step up. Nobody that has the right to step up is stepping up. So do I agree with a lot of these groups out there that are upset at police killing people? Yeah. Is the way they're handling it totally wrong? Yeah. Because they're just trying to start another problem and get another bill passed that's all federal, that has nothing to do with you and your city and your problems with your police. Don't make it federal. Make it county. Go to the sheriff and go, we need your help. We have 40,000 people in this county that think these guys are assholes, and we know now that we elected you, and we can unelect you, so you better step up and come to our meetings and help us work this out. Now, it is a two-way street, and if a bunch of people are going to just, yeah, 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 and F you this, and not listen to reasonable discourse, then you've lost. You might win the battle, but you have lost the fight for freedom because you were too stupid to shut up and actually listen to the issues that were being presented. But the way to do it is to march your happy ass right into the county sheriff's department and go, from what I've learned reading all these laws, and I've asked all these lawyers on our committee and the ACLU and the Southern Poverty Law Center that this is how it works. You are the law enforcement officer, and these pricks are just given a job. They're just hired like any other bad job. What are you going to do for me? And then he might say, well, I don't know if that's right or not. Then you just go, okay, then I need to elect somebody that's not a moron. And then maybe he'll go, let me look into it. And then he can do his homework. But if he's corrupt, get his ass out of there as fast as you can and get a new sheriff. Have a recall election if you have to. Don't wait for two more years or whatever. Get him out. Get a honest person for a sheriff, and then have them straighten out the police in your area and stop rioting and stop getting all pissed off. Just do it the right way. And the right way is the simple way, and the simple way works fastest, bestest, all the time. So anyway, that was a tangent. So I don't think any of this shit will happen. That's why I talk about prepping, because eventually it's just going to fall down like a card house that you built when you were kids, and for no reason, one card slips, and bam, the whole thing falls down, and you're like, ah, it's cool, and you build another one. But unfortunately, this is America. This is your freedom we're talking about. This is your liberty, your family, and your loved ones, and you, the guy in the mirror, the girl in the mirror. We're talking about you. So that's why we talk about prepping, because when the card house of cards falls down, you'll be ready. When the Titanic is going down, you're not going to be debating whether it was an iceberg and how big it was and why the magic steel didn't hold up. You're just going to go, oh, two steps out that door, grab my life vest, four steps down that way. There's a lifeboat. Get on the lifeboat. Get your family together. They have a plan. They're like two steps right behind you. Bam, you get on the lifeboat and get away from the sinking ship before it sucks you under. And that's why we prep. So I hope that helps you. I hope that didn't depress you. I hope it was a little uplifting. And if it wasn't, well, sometimes bad news isn't all that fun to listen to. But the good news is every day from today until it happens is one day that you can continue to learn and prep more right up until it happens. And then it's too late. So every day you wake up and the sun is shining and the electricity is still on, and there's not rioting in the street and bombs falling out of the sky, it's one more day you can buy one more prep. It's one more day you can watch one more video. It's one more day you can practice a skill and one more thing you can learn. So with that being said, when it happens, enjoy the apocalypse.